couple of passages here. And the question here, or the statement, in looking at the book of Acts, and we're looking at the beginning of the church as it's progressing, as it's growing and starting out, there was a lot of prayer involved in the work at the beginning of the church. So let's take a look at some of these different situations and see what was that situation and what was happening in terms of the prayer activity involved in that. So let me get somebody to go to Acts chapter 2. In verse 42, and have that to read for us. All right, Wes, let me get somebody else to go to 4, verse 23 through 31. Tom, okay. Somebody else, chapter 6 and verse 6. Okay. Chapter 13 and verse 13. Who's got that? Okay, Keith? All right.
13.
Yeah, typo. Oh, I'm sorry. 3. I see what y'all are doing. I'm seeing 2 13s there.
Nope.
Acts 13 and verse 3. I'll get it straight here in a second. Okay, let's start out. Now, y'all have to remind me. All right, who's got the first one? Wes, right? Acts 2 and verse 42. What did they devote themselves to, Wes?
And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayer.
Okay. So this is at the very beginning of the church. Okay. And some of the translations use the term they devoted themselves. Okay. Or they continued steadfastly in those 4 things. What were they?
Doctrine.
In the doctrine or the
fellowship.
Teachings of the apostles.
Fellowship.
Breaking of bread. And prayer. Okay? They continued steadfastly in those things. So prayer, we see at the very outset of the church, is an important part of this, and these folks were devoted to praying for the growth and the work of the church, right? Okay. All right, what about the next one here? 4, 23 through 31. Interesting situation. Tom, read that for us.
And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God, who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. By the mouth of your servant David, have said, Why do the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before it be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness.
Okay. Now, this situation, they were threatened, right? What took place just before this? They're there before the Sanhedrin, right? Sanhedrin drags them in and basically tells them, we want you to stop preaching and teaching in the name of this Jesus, right? And what was their initial response to that?
No.
Yeah. You judge for yourselves whether it's right for us to listen to men or to God. As for us, we cannot help but to do what? Exactly. Okay. And so after being let go, and that's where we picked up in the text there, after being let go, they get back with the brethren, and the first thing they do is pray, right? Okay. And there's several things in this prayer, but there's two two very important points that I want you to key in on here about this prayer. The first thing that they talk about is the threats that were made to them, right? Okay? And then the other thing that they focus on, and they're asking the Lord to do what? In view of these threats that have done, he says, consider these threats. What's their request of God? Allow us to speak the word of God with boldness. Okay? They recognized what the task was. They recognized what the opposition was. You see, what the problems they were going to face was. And so, Lord, we need boldness to be able to accomplish your work. Okay? So, you know, so far in this, answering the question, what can you do in terms of prayer for Colonel and Kelly and them over there in China and this work that we are taking on, what can you do, first of all? Be devoted to prayer on their behalf. Okay? And secondly, you need to be praying for boldness for them. Okay? All right. Jessica, you got the next one, right? Chapter 6 and verse 6. Okay. Now, this text is about what? The choosing of the seven. The first, we refer to them as the first deacons, right? They chose these men out from among them. They were told, seven men, choose them out from among you. Men who are what? Full of the Spirit and wisdom, right? Okay? And we will appoint to them the task of this work. So they chose these men, and they have them all listed there. And then after they did that, what did they do with them? They prayed over them, didn't they? Placed their hands on them and they prayed over them. Okay? So, before the two of you and your children leave on this work to China, you will have the elders' hands placed on you and you will be prayed over. Okay? And it's liable to happen a couple of times, okay? But I promise you it's going to happen at least once.
As long as you
okay?
lay your hands on.
Jessica, read that text again. Did it say anything about softly laying their hands on them? I don't think it did. See, you can't be putting conditions on it like that now. That's right. So, you know, you see, we're looking at these examples. This is what worked in the first century church, right? This is what God had happening with them. He made it work then. He answered prayers, obviously. We've seen, been talking about a lot. So why shouldn't we be doing these very same things today in this work, okay? Take a look over here at chapter 13, okay? Verses 1 through 3. Who's got that? Keith, you got it? Are you the one? Okay.
Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, and Barnabas and Simeon that were called Niger and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manna, which had been brought up with the
He was a friend of Herod the Tetrarch.
Brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me for the work whereunder I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away.
Okay, so the Holy Spirit chose Colonel and Kelly to go to China. Okay, what two things are happening here on the behalf of Barnabas and Saul that we can do? What is it? Fasting and prayer. Oh, wait a minute. I'm willing to lay hands on them and pray, but I'm not going to give up no meals for them. Okay? You know, and we've talked about fasting, you know, at various times, you know, in our studies on prayer and so forth, and we need to go back and look at that and consider, you know, the importance of that, fasting and prayer on their behalf and on behalf of this work that the Holy Spirit has set before us. Okay? Again, keep in mind, this is our work. It's God's work that He has given us to do. And so in answer to that first question, what can I do in the category of prayer? You know, there are several specific things that we're seeing that the first century church was doing. And no reason why we should not be doing the same thing concerning this work that God has given us to do. Okay. Any other thoughts or comments on that at all, that aspect of it? Okay, what kinds of things do we need to be praying about for them and for this work? Okay, we go and look at, again, a few passages here, and we see some specific things that were prayed about, which Paul requested prayers in his work. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Is this something that Colonel and Kelly are going to need prayers for? Whoever gets there, read that for us, please.
Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful.
Keep going.
Oh, yeah. And pray for us, too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should.
Okay. So, are they going to need doors open?
Yep.
Okay. Are they going to need to be able to proclaim it plainly? Okay.
And that's a bit of a challenge. Because they're speaking with people that don't speak English.
Well, the door's going to have to be opened in some various ways, isn't it? Okay. But you see, again, this is something very specific that we can be praying about concerning this work. Okay? Pray for the doors to be open. Pray for that wisdom, you see, and so forth. How about Romans chapter 15? Let's go over there for a moment. Now, Paul is wanting to be able to get to Rome. And as far as I know, his plans to do that was so that he'd have opportunity to continue preaching the gospel, right? Okay. Look at verse 30. I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the spirits, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf, that I may be delivered from the unbelievers in Judea, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, so that by God's will I may come to you with joy and be refreshed in your company. Wow. That's kind of a different prayer request, isn't it? Okay. What's the circumstance that Paul is dealing with here?
He's awaiting his appeal to Caesar.
Right. Okay. He knows he's going to have some opposition, right? Okay, he's got those unbelievers to deal with. Are you guys going to face any opposition over in China? Yeah. Okay. All right. So you got that part of it involved, and so pray. Okay? And you know, there's nothing wrong with, and I think somewhere along the line people have, some Christians have kind of gotten the idea that when we're out doing the Lord's work, we're supposed to walk around with a scowl on our face and everything, because if people think you're happy, then, you know, you're not really a Christian. You know, I don't know where they've come up with that idea, but, you know. But did you notice what it is that Paul says here? What is part of his request? Look at verse 32. So that by God's will I may come to you with what?
Joy.
With joy. And be refreshed in your company. Yeah. Yeah. See? So that they would be able to go over there to China with joy. You're not going in joy and you're going over there begrudgingly, then don't go. See? But at the same time, we still need to pray that they'll have that joy and that they'll be refreshed while they're there. Okay? So some very specific things that we can be praying about on their behalf. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 through 19. Whoever's got that, read for us, please. This is after Paul has been talking about putting on the armor of God, and he continues at the end of that talking about prayer. What does he say? He's got it.
Praying always with all prayer and supplication to the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all reverence and supplication after all saints. I'm sorry, for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel.
Okay. Praying for that boldness again. And I can open my mouth and proclaim the word. Okay. You guys can need some guidance from the Lord in opening your mouth. And as you open your mouth and English wants to come out, and you're talking to someone who doesn't understand English at all, and you know, how are you going to communicate with that person? Okay. So wisdom and boldness and guidance to, okay, right now I need an interpreter. But I also need, and you guys have in your plan the thing, to learn Chinese. God, help me to understand this language so I can communicate your word to these people. See? Open my mouth. So that I can speak the word. Okay? So, you know, pray for God to bless you with the ability to learn this language. Learn it, you know, in such a way that you can share the gospel. And you'd be praying about that today. Okay? So many things, aren't there, that we can be praying about. Specifically in this work. Okay? So all these various things that, you know, as we're looking at what was going on in the first century church concerning prayer for those who are sharing the gospel, that we need to apply to this work that we are endeavoring on. Okay? Any thoughts or comments on that? Absolutely. Well, you know, and one of the questions that I have asked people at different times when talking about that specific statement is there ever any occasion in your life that ever comes up where prayer would not fit? I mean, think about that. You know, when he talks about praying in all occasions, can you think of any situation where prayer would not fit into that occasion? See? I haven't been able to come up with one yet. See? Because if there's an occasion where maybe I'm doing something I shouldn't be doing, does prayer fit into that occasion? Absolutely. Help me to keep from doing what I'm not supposed to be doing, okay? And if it's something I'm doing that I'm supposed to be doing or it's okay for me to be doing, then how does prayer fit into that? Help me do it better. Thank God for allowing me to do it or whatever the service. So, you know, either way, prayer fits in all occasions, doesn't it? So, you know, we can keep that in mind. All right, good. What else? Okay, next question, what can I do? How about encouragement? That's what we're talking about here. Y'all think you're going to need a little bit of encouragement while you're over there in China? Okay, all right. The statement on here, it is a fact that everyone needs encouragement. Agree or disagree with that? Hey, take my word for it. As a psychologist, we all need an attaboy every now and then, okay? Everybody needs a pat on the back, okay? But perhaps no one needs it any more than our foreign missionaries. Let's talk about why is that so. Why do folks in those kinds of circumstances need healthy doses of encouragement?
Well, even under the best of circumstances, that's a difficult task. Colonel Kelly is an example of, you know, they've been there, so they do have a base to operate from. But when you first start out, you really don't.
Okay.
You know, it'd be like going to church by yourself every Sunday.
Okay.
Except you're doing it 7 days a week. You know, there's no one around here.
Okay.
You know, that gets it.
All right. Okay.
So to speak.
So they're going to be on their own.
There, yeah.
You know. What else? What other problems are there?
China, to put it plainly, is a stronghold of Satan. I mean, the fact that from an early age they're teaching people there is no God, religion is the opiate for the masses. So, the odd thing about it is you don't see it overtly, but the longer you stay in the place, mm-hmm. the more apparent it becomes and it weighs on you.
Okay.
Because as a Christian, you know how things ought to be. But then you see the people and that the things that they're doing, they don't even realize that it's wrong. They have no idea. And just being away from this kind of atmosphere where like-minded people
sure.
will understand and know, and being in a foreign place where people, they just, you can't even really get mad at them because they don't know.
Okay.
And it's just a heavy burden.
Right. So there's, you know, that sense of isolation, you know, in terms of being able to find support from people there that are like-minded and so forth, that's not going to be there until you establish some people. And that's motivation, isn't it?
Right.
You see? Okay? We need to get some people here. So, you know, but the reality of it is, you know, you go into a situation like that, there you don't have a place where you can go and sit down with folks and talk about spiritual warfare and, you know, spiritual things and so forth. So that's that isolation, you know, those things. And the fact that Satan doesn't want you there to begin with, you know, and so, you know, he's going to be certainly working hard to discourage you and send you home. What else? What other kinds of things? What other things would say, hey, they need some encouragement here with this? Not only are you isolated, but, you know, in other words, you don't have a commonality with people spiritually, but you can't even speak the same language they do. You can't even order a loaf of bread in a store, for crying out loud, you know, until you learn what the word for bread is and words that say, I want one. Okay? You know, that's one of the things when I first started going over to Ukraine, I was studying Russian, trying to learn, because, you know, one of my big things is I like to eat. Okay? And so, you know, I learned, you know, the words on how to order things, okay? And to be able to say, please give me. You see, I want that. I want to buy that, you see? So you can acquire those things. You know, because again, you're in a foreign country and you got people that don't speak your language and you go up to somebody and you're trying to communicate and, you know, it's not happening. Okay? Okay? Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay? What other circumstances require encouragement?
I know one of the biggest problems I face, you spend all this time teaching, and you're emptying out, and it's hard to get filled up again.
Okay, all right.
Because you're constantly giving,
sure.
And there's no one really to give back to you.
Okay, all right.
And so, just the encouragement, you know, just from the scripture, a Bible verse, and just kind of, you know, in that way, to
I'm glad you brought that up. Because through the Holy Spirit's wisdom, the Lord has shared with the elders what we feel needs to happen in order to be able to provide that encouragement to you guys. And we have a job opening here in the congregation for a liaison officer to missionaries in China. What we're going to do is we want to have somebody in place that will be our contact person for you guys, directly to that person. And it can't be Nancy. We already decided that's not happening. Okay, Nancy is too emotionally connected to this whole thing, with that. And so what we want to have someone in place to be that person that will be, you know, not only that person emailing you, but will be the person to be able to tell the rest of us what's going on a regular basis and, you know, what you need and what's happening and say, okay, here's, they need some communication about this. They need more emails. They need this, whatever it is. So we're going to have somebody in place to do that for you guys, to be that contact person, okay, to provide that. Because, yeah, you do need to have your cup filled. Okay. What else?
They live with children, so that, to me, would be an even more of a challenge because I tell you that they're giving out.
Okay.
And I don't have to give out for the Chinese people, but they have to give to young people and encourage them to say, hey, although this is what you see and what you hear, it's not what you need to live by.
Okay. Absolutely. And that adds a whole other dimension to it, doesn't it? To everything that you're doing. Okay? All right. What else? What other things would they need, or what other sources of discouragement do you suppose they're going to be facing that they would need encouragement for?
I want to say this, but I want to preface it first. There is nothing about the Chinese Christians that would be inferior to any other kind of Christian. However, a lot of times, as we work with them, because they're coming from such a godless background, we see them doing and saying things that we feel like they ought to know better. And I think it's because we come from the context of being in America and being around mature Christians and saying, oh, okay, well, yeah, they get it. And sometimes it just wears on us when we see our Chinese brothers and sisters doing things and we have to remind ourselves, okay, this is brand new to them. Not just before I wasn't a Christian and now I am a Christian.
Right.
I mean, like the Bible, the idea of God, and doing what God says is brand new, but sometimes it just wears down on you. And I can identify a lot with how Paul talks to the church in Corinth, like,
can I share a secret with you? You know, that's where patience comes in over time. That's just something that you learn in ministry because in my experience in working with churches, okay, and I'm just looking at you so I don't have to look at everybody else in the room here, okay? In my experience in ministry over the years, you find that very same thing happening, you see? That you find yourself as you preach and you continue to preach certain things and you keep teaching things over and over and you're going, it's not sinking in. What are they thinking? Why would they do something like that? And you find yourself faced with that with folks in the church here, you see. I don't mean literally here, okay, in this room. But I'm saying, you know, that's that experience, that's part of ministry. because and it's easy to get impatient because you've got some really great things to share and you know how it's going to change people's lives if they would just do it, but then they don't do it and you're going, what am I doing wrong? You know, what am I missing? Why you know, what's wrong with me? And you battle those things sometimes, you see. And so, you know, yeah, can be a very big source of discouragement, especially when you start out in ministry. When you get in ministry, been as long as I have, you're just going, oh, they're just a bunch of ignoramuses and they don't work about it. No, I'm just teasing. Just joking.
Yeah.
No, you realize that that's part of spiritual warfare. And they're not doing it because they're ignorant. They're doing it because they're facing battle right now with Satan. And Satan doesn't want them. He wants them to stumble and fall and, you know, and so forth. And so it's much easier to be patient when you get that perspective and you're going, you know, it's not a matter of just going in and telling people something and then, you know, Satan's going to go, oh, well, they got the message. I guess I better leave them alone. You know, it's not happening. And so it is spiritual warfare is where it is. And you've got to, you know, so keep that in mind, and it helps keep you from being discouraged.
But those are the perfect times to help try to reinforce.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's so true.
Yeah. When they're the only two people around that speak English, you know, they don't have anybody else to talk to. It's like, I'm tired of talking to him. I'm tired of talking to her. You know? Chuck?
There's four going, right?
Right.
We got those other two. Mm-hmm. And they've got that their ministry going on, but then you've got your children also. Yeah. And you've got to put them first. And I know it gets difficult. I know teaching them, and that's a big job in itself, whether you're in the United States or y'all are going to teach.
Let me just ask for a show of hands. How many of you have ever been out of the country? I'm talking about out of the U.S. of A. Okay. So some of you have, but most of you have never been out of the country. Okay. Think about it this way. Okay. Think about taking your family and going to a strange place, a foreign country where the language is different. The culture is very different. In other words, the food, you know, in many places around the world is completely different, you see. You know, the customs, the way they do things, and a lot of times it's very simple things that we take for granted. And things that we do without really even thinking a lot about it, those things are very different. And sometimes, yes, people look at you because you're doing something and they go, crazy Americans. You know, those kinds of things. Now think about, you know, just try to picture doing that. You're going on a vacation to this foreign land. And probably for most of us who have traveled, you know, to foreign countries, it's been very short term, hasn't it? You know, to me, it's been the longest I've been is 2 weeks, you know, out of the country in one place. Okay, you know, you can put up with that for, you know, a week, 2 weeks, you know, the differences and you're learning. And I enjoy the different cultures, and that's part of what I enjoy about traveling is, you know, experiencing all those things. But think about doing it for a year, you know, 2 years or whatever, you know, and you know, no, you don't have, you know, the Walgreens pharmacy down on the corner that you can run into, you know, to get, you know, that last minute thing that you needed or whatever, and your neighbor across the street, you know, that's yelling at you because you parked in his parking, and he's saying things you don't even understand because you can't speak his language and you don't really want to know what he's saying to you. You know, and all of those kinds of things that go on in just dealing with people. But you're not doing it just for a day or a week or 2 weeks. You're doing it for a long period of time. Think about some of the comforts that you enjoy at home. See, I want to go to China just to see it. I'd love to go for the culture experience and visit and all that kind of stuff. But I couldn't stay there too long because they don't have barbecue in China. Okay? Not like we have here, okay? They've got good barbecue ribs if you go to the Chinese restaurants around here, but I guarantee you they don't have no slow smokers like we got over here, you know. So I, you know, for me to be a year without barbecue, I'm sorry, can't do that. You know. But you know, there's just so many things like that that we take for granted, don't we? About life, everyday life, that you're in those services. And even, and again, for those of you who have traveled, you know, to foreign countries, you know, there are a lot of those conveniences that we enjoy here that when you go somewhere else, they're just not there. You know, and I mean, you know, you got to get special outlets to plug your appliances in because they don't have the same. I mean, we're talking about this simple things like that. When Tommy South and I were in London, we ended up having to stay over in London on one of our trips to Ukraine, and we're in the hotel, and I go to plug my converter device into the outlet so I could charge up my computer. Unfortunately, I didn't have my computer plugged in. It was just the converter outlet, and shut off all the lights in the hotel because it went. Went, did I do that? You know, I was like, what happened? You know, it's, you know, things like that that happen, you know, and so it's different. And you know, we can put up with some stuff, the inconveniences for a little while, but when you're talking long term, it's a whole different thing. So it can get discouraging. I got Nancy and then Angela over here. Oh, we are out of time. How come somebody didn't go like this? So you guys got to watch the time here for me. Can we do y'all's comments next week? Can we do that? Hold them. We'll pick y'all up next week, okay? All right. Thank you guys very much. I didn't realize it was so late.